Good morning. It's good to be here with y'all. Why don't we pray and then we will read the Bible together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, that we can come together like this and sing to you, and especially that we can remember the cross together. Remember your body and your blood and all that that gives to us. So now, God, as we open up this book and read, I pray that you would help us hear your voice in the words that you spoke. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, if you remember old habits, flip over to the book of Matthew. We were there for a while, and then we took a little break, had some other little detours to go down, And a couple weeks ago, I was looking ahead and thought, okay, are we going to go back to Matthew or are we going to go somewhere else? And we're in the middle of a chapter, and if you're at all OCD, you know how it's like, you just can't leave the middle of the chapter. And then I looked at the passages that were coming. It's like, no, we can't leave that. Those are phenomenal passages. So we have some good texts ahead of us. I'm looking forward to them. So today, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. The idea of going through Matthew like this and just kind of marinating in it, listening to Jesus, just taking a little bit at a time and hearing what he's saying is that we want to look at what Jesus did and be inspired by his example, and we want to hear his words and be taught by him so that as we do this, we can become more and more like Jesus. And I had a thought this week that my thought was, okay, if you're coming on Sundays and thinking, okay, this is kind of my main spiritual feeding, this is like where I hear the most from God, where I read the most Bible in the week, then you're going to be kind of undernourished in the sense that we can't do a lot of reading on Sundays. The weeks when we try, I mean, I see you flipping, it's too much. You can't do a lot of volume reading. And so when we stay in one place for a while and just kind of move through it slowly, well, that's to get the most out of it. It's not meant to replace daily Bible reading. If you want to be nourished by God, you have to read the Bible every day. And this half an hour on Sunday never can replace that. It's a supplement to it. But anyway, so let's be a people who read the Bible every day. Okay, that was unplanned and an aside, but let's come back to Matthew. Okay, so the passage today talks about ignoring God. And if your first reaction when you think of, you know, ignoring God, if I were to ask you, do you ignore God? Well, we're in it gathered as a church. It's a Sunday morning. What would you say? Well, of course, I don't ignore God. I would never. That's ridiculous. I probably know people who ignore God, but that I would do that? That's ludicrous. I would never ignore God. Who would? That's inconceivable. But the reality is that many times we do ignore God. Many times God does talk to us, and he gives us opportunities. He puts things before us, and we let them go by. We, in effect, ignore God. It starts because God speaks to us. We have his word. By definition, what we call this, the word of God, God speaks. When we read this, then his spirit inhabits in his children. And so God leads and guides us through his spirit. God speaks and talks to us and pulls us towards him and tells us things to do and shows us how we can better follow his will. He shows us things to do. He gives us opportunities. That desire, have you ever felt that desire to be closer to God, whatever that maybe it comes to you like you felt I need to read my Bible more, and you felt that, and something in you says do that. You need to read the Bible more. That would be a good thing, or praying, or I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe you kind of there was a time in your life where you kind of got away from gathering together on Sundays, and then something just hit you, and you're like, I need to be with my family. I need to spend time with my family. That desire, that thing in you that pulls you back to do something that's in line with God's will. Maybe you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, and there are times when you just feel that this strong desire. You're like, I need to repent and be baptized. I need to give my life to Jesus. That's something I need to do, that desire, that thing inside you that pushes you in a direction. Maybe there's a persistent sin in your life, something that you've struggled with over and over and over again, but it's just been part of who you are for a long period of time. And there's moments when you just know you're reading the Bible or you're gathered together or you're taking the Lord's Supper, and you just know. He's like, oh, I need to leave that behind. God calls to us. He calls us. He calls us to take steps, to do things, to get closer to Him, to be more like Him. We're talking with a friend, and there's that moment where you think, I should ask them if we could study the Bible together. There's moments when God puts opportunities before us and gives us ideas of things we could or should do, and many times we kind of take those lightly. See, we don't think I'm going to ignore God. We maybe don't even think that's God, you know, guiding or talking to me in that moment, but we kind of take it lightly. We think, oh, that would be a good idea. I should do that. I should read the Bible every day. Later on when I get home, I'm going to download YouVersion. By the way, if you know your phone person, YouVersion, wonderful. They have plans. You can follow them. I'm going to download YouVersion, and then I'm going to, yeah, I should do that. That would be a good idea. That you know what? I got a kind of a mental list of good things that I ought to do. There's the, you know, the gutters with the leaves, and there's the paint that's peeling in the kitchen, and I should read the Bible every day. We just kind of put on the list of good things to do. I should ask that person, you know, if we could read the Bible together, if we could study together. That would be a good thing to do. And we kind of take it lightly, and we put it on a list of good things to do. But then ultimately, many times, and I don't know, maybe you're the exception in this, but I know for me, many times, well, we let those opportunities go by. They get on the list of good things that I could do, should do, and then we miss the opportunity. We don't respond to God in the moment when He's talking to us, when He's saying, do this. And then time goes by, and if we look back, we realize what happened is something changed. My heart, like the door closed. My dad always uses the analogy of windows and doors. You know, they're open for a while, and then, you know, inevitably they close. There's opportunities at times when you're receptive to God and you're hearing Him, and he's talking to you. And then you're not hearing that anymore. And I don't really feel that thing that I felt before to leave that sin behind or to make this change in my life. What happened? Well, a door closed, a window closed. My heart kind of changed. I lost interest. My life went in a different direction. I don't live next to that person anymore. So kind of the opportunity went by. That's ignoring God. That's God leaning on us, calling us, pushing us in a direction, and us saying, that would be a good idea. But when we don't do what God is leading us to do, we end up ignoring God. In Matthew 11, verse 20, we see an example of people who ignored God. And Jesus is going to say something very directly to them. And I think in what He says to them, we'll see how we should respond when God talks to us, when God leads us, when He calls us. Look at Matthew 11, verse 20. We'll read it together, then we'll go back and look at it. Then He began to denounce the cities where most of His mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. What is Jesus doing? Well, if you look at it, He says the same thing twice, using two sets of cities as an example. And so He says, He repeats Himself in this. And what He's saying is he's talking directly to the people in some of the towns where He had done most of His deeds. They'd seen His miracles. They'd seen the miraculous things that He had done, the things that were the sign of God being on someone, of the Messiah, of God's chosen one. They had heard His teaching. They heard His call to return to God, that's the word repentance, to turn to God, to return to God. They heard that, and they didn't do anything. For the most part, the people in these cities didn't respond. They didn't repent. They ignored God. And so And so then he compares them, and it's hard for me to understand how repugnant the words that he's saying are to the people who heard them. But he compares these people. Now, these were people who thought they were God's people. They were part of God's chosen people. And then God sends his son, and they ignore God speaking through his son. So they think that they're God's chosen people. And Jesus then compares them to some of the worst people that he could compare them to. Tyre, Sidon, pagan places. Places that had no knowledge of God, didn't want to be close to God, did abominable things. Sodom, even today, that word, that name, that town, people who don't know very much about God know about Sodom and Gomorrah, the horrible, horrible places, places that lived in just open rebellion against God, as rebellious against God as you can be. And in the case of Sodom, a place that God destroyed because of his rebellion. And Jesus compares these towns, these places that were so abominable to him and to his people, to his chosen people that he had gone to. And he says, listen, they would have repented. They would have listened. They would have turned to God. If they would have seen and heard what you saw and heard when I came to you, they would have changed. It's going to be better on the day of judgment for them than for you. Could you imagine how insulting and offensive that was to the people that he was talking to be compared to the people in Sodom? That's just incredible. He's talking about ignoring God, and I think the big idea that you see in this passage is this, that when God seeks you, when God calls you, God talks to you, when God tries to guide you, it is an incredible privilege and a great responsibility. When God seeks after you, when he puts something before you and says, this is what you can do to come closer to me, when he calls you, it is an incredible privilege and a great responsibility. Look at verse 11. He's talking about how God calls you. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works have been done because they did not repent. He's talking about God coming after people, God entering into people's lives, into these cities, and doing things to wake them up and to get their attention and to get them to turn back to him. He did these miracles not so that people would be healthier in these towns. He did these miracles so everyone would see this and that they would turn to God and that they would their hearts would be drawn back to the Father. That's why he did it. God was calling them. He was coming to them. He was trying to pull them to himself, and they ignored him. They didn't turn to God. And then if you keep reading, something that jumped out at me, and I thought, oh, I don't like that, but it's in here, so it's true. It's just a reality. He began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Look at that most of. And there's going to be a theme that goes through here, and that's this. It's not the same for everybody. It's not the same for everybody. Jesus did most of his mighty works in these cities. So now, if you were in Tyre, Sidon, or other towns, and you were hearing this, maybe you were traveling through and you heard Jesus talking, wouldn't you be tempted to raise your hand and say, I don't think that's fair. God's coming and he's doing most of his stuff in these places. Why don't you kind of spread it around and do a tour of all the towns and do the same amount of miracles in all of them, so we all have an equal opportunity to return to the Father? Why did he do most of his miracles in some of them and less in others? That doesn't seem fair. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So he's specific. He says, I did more here. Didn't do any here. Did a lot here. I came after you guys. I called to you guys that you had a clear demonstration of God's power and God's call and what God wanted you to do. It's not the same for everyone. Look at verse 23. This is the repeating part. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, they would have remained until this day. Remember Sodom? They didn't get a visit from God doing miracles and preaching and over time calling them to return to God. They got wiped off the face of the earth. It was a different experience for them. It wasn't the same for everybody. It's not the same for everyone. And what we see in that is that God is sovereign. he chooses how, who and how he goes after. He decides how he does things. He's the sovereign God. He decides who he's going to pursue and how he will pursue them. And if you say, well, yeah, but can't we all return to God? Aren't we all called to repent? Yes, that's the thing. We're all equally able to return to God. We're all equally able to called to repent, to return to God. We've all equally rebelled against God, and we're all equally called to return to God. But what we see here is that sometimes, while we can all return to God, our hard hearts stand in the way of us doing that, and sometimes God comes after some people in a special, different way than he does for others. Can you remember a time in your life where you had no interest in God, and then all of a sudden you were like woken up to God, and it's like, I want to know God. And before that moment, if you would have like seen a flash forward and saw yourself dreamed or something, or saw yourself sitting where you are right now, with the thing in your hand that you're reading, you would say, that's not me. That will never be me. I don't see myself being that person. But then something happened. God came after you. God through his Spirit, he convicts us and he touches us and he wakes us up and he draws us to himself. He gives us a desire. If you used to never read the Bible and found it incredibly boring, and then you started reading it, something made you want to read it, and then it just became like your life, and you would choose this over a plate of food if you had to choose. It's, you know, ideally you could eat and read, but if you had to choose one or the other, it's like, I want this. What made that change in you? God comes after us. He calls us in different ways and different times. You ever notice how some people are woken up when a tragedy comes to their life, and other people, a tragedy hits them, and they get hard, and they turn away. You notice how sometimes good things happen and it makes people get more into their own world, and other times good things happen and it makes people turn to God. What's the difference? God comes after us in different ways with different intensity and different moments. And here's the thing, if you're here today, which from my perspective you are, so if you're here today, if you have one of these, if you know people who love Jesus, then God's come after you and is coming after you, and he's drawing you towards himself. And that is an incredible privilege. How is God, just think back in your life, how is God drawing you to himself? What are the times when you felt God calling you? What are different things that God has given you to do? Different ideas, different people, different stuff that God's put in your life, and he said, do that. And you just felt, that's God pushing me in that direction. Maybe you didn't follow, maybe you did, but can you remember, can you think back and think of times that God has pulled on you and drawn you to himself, and when you felt that there's something I should do, and you knew that that was coming from God? See when we... Because it's not the same for everyone, God comes after some people in a special way, like he did to these people. That's a privilege. It's an incredible gift. That's grace. We can all turn to God, and we all are called to return to God, and we all be equally punished if we don't return to God. But when God comes after you and draws you to himself, well, that's grace. That's God. Pulling you in. That's an incredible privilege. When the king of the universe, who you've rebelled against, when instead of waiting for you to return to him, when he comes to you and draws you to himself, that's an incredible privilege. The people in these towns, they were privileged beyond words. Everyone around them was going to be punished for not turning to God, as were they, but they had God come to them and try to draw them to himself. They were privileged. We're privileged because it's not just like in the Old Testament where people were called to be part of God's people, or God chose a special people, or now God's kingdom has come. Jesus came to initiate it, to bring the beginning of his kingdom. We're in the fulfillment of the time. We can be part of the kingdom of God, and the Son of God on the cross has purchased our salvation. It's an incredible privilege for God to seek us out. That is something that we shouldn't ignore, and that's why the second part of the thing that I see in this verse is when God calls us, when God seeks us out, It's a great responsibility. It's a huge responsibility. It's the amount of privilege in God seeking you out and drawing you to himself and giving you an idea to study with someone or to work with him in his kingdom or whatever the thing may be. That's an incredible privilege. And the fact that the enormity of that privilege feeds into the great responsibility that it is. When we read this text, was there anything in this text that made you go, oh, that's a cute passage of scripture? No, it's a weighty, heavy passage. It's one that you read and go, oh, I hope that doesn't apply to me, because that's just a really difficult passage. That's a sad, hard passage. Why is it such a sad, hard passage? Because when God calls you, when God comes after you, when God gives you things to do and he seeks you and he draws you to himself and his spirit works in you, that is an incredible responsibility. It's a huge responsibility that should not be ignored. Look at verse 20. Just look at how Jesus talks. He began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works have been done because they did not repent. And it's an incredible responsibility when God comes to you to seek you out. It's not something that you should take lightly. Rather, what did Jesus expect? He expected, his expected response to God coming after these people is that they would return to God, that they would repent, that they would leave behind the rebellion and their disobedience, that they would turn to God, that they would submit to Jesus as the King, as the Son of God, that they would do whatever he asked them to do. That's the response that Jesus expected. That's the huge responsibility that you and I have when God comes to us. He calls us to obey him, to do what he says. That's the responsibility that comes with this incredible privilege of God talking to you and calling you and drawing you to himself and ignoring that. And this is the heavy part of the passage. Look at verse 22. Ignoring God's call and God coming to you and drawing you to himself and giving you opportunities and saying, you can have a relationship with me. You can be closer to me. This can be very more real for you tomorrow than it was yesterday. That comes, ignoring that brings a huge punishment. Look at verse 22. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. Now, think about this. He's comparing two different groups of people. One group of people is just outwardly incredibly wicked, and the other group of people is outwardly pretty righteous. They looked a lot better than these people. If you had to choose which people would get it easier on the day of judgment, it would definitely be these people. It wouldn't be the bad people. Look at verse 24, the second half, the second part, the second time he does this. But I tell you, it would be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. What's he saying? He's saying these people who look so horrible. Remember what happened to the people of Sodom on this earth? Fire rained down from heaven, killed them all. Okay, he's saying it's going to be more tolerable in the day of judgment for those people, as bad as they were, than it will be for you. Why? Because you ignored God when he expressly came after you, when he put before you what he wanted you to do, and he drew you towards that, and you had everything laid before you, and you ignored it. There's a huge punishment that is involved in ignoring God, in the same way that it's an incredible privilege for God to manifest himself to you and for you to feel drawn to him and for you to know what God wants you to do. Many people, listen, don't take that for granted. Many people in the world, they don't know what God would have them to do. They could read the Bible and figure it out, and they're called to do that, and it'll be punished if they don't do that. But they don't know what their next step is. And if you know what God's next step is for you, that is an incredible privilege. But in the same way that it's a privilege, it's a responsibility, and it brings a huge punishment with it if you ignore it, because he's called you. You know something about him. You've learned of him. You know how to make the decision to follow Jesus, and you haven't done it. You know what your next step is, and you haven't done it. And so Jesus says, God talking to you and calling you and you not turning to him and submitting to him, that brings greater punishment than if he hadn't come after you. That brings greater punishment than if, like these other towns, he would have just let you alone. So if you say, do you want God to just leave you alone? Or you say, no, come after me. Send your spirit to draw me towards you. May remove the veil from my eyes. Make me see Christ as glorious. Do whatever it takes to draw me to you. Show me what you want me to do, God. Okay, that's a good thing to want, and you'd be crazy not to want it. But having that happen puts the burden on us then to respond. And when we don't, Jesus says that you're going to be punished greater for not responding when I came after you than if I would have just let you alone and let you do your thing and then pay the price on the day of judgment. Knowing what God wants you to do and not responding is a lot worse, will be a lot worse than not knowing what he wanted you to do and not seeing it and not being drawn towards him. The more you know, the more you've seen, the more that God has come after you and I, the more punishment we'll receive when we ignore him. That's a huge responsibility. That's why it's not a good thing to ignore God. So if you've been thinking about this and you say, okay, I get it. I shouldn't ignore God, but you don't understand. The thing that God's been asking me to do is really difficult. It's not easy. It's not really realistic. I mean, you can stand up there and, you know, be all Sunday preacher man and open your Bible and say, don't ignore God. But the thing that God's been wanting me to do, I just can't do it. It's not something I can just do. It's not realistic for you to say, just do it now. Just don't ignore God. I have to think about it. I have to get ready. I have to kind of, I'm not, they're going to laugh at me if I make the decision. The people who really know me are going to laugh at me when I say I got baptized. If I submit myself to Jesus and become his follower, he'll have to tell me what to do. And I know he's going to tell me what to do, and I know some of the things he's going to tell me to do, and I can't do those things. It's not realistic to say, just don't ignore God. You know how bored I get when I read this book? And so I know God wants me to read it every day, and that's what he's been telling me to do, but I can't do that. I can't just do it. Maybe I'll ease into it, but I can't do what he's telling me to do. There's that sin that I have in my life, and you know, you could talk about leaving sin behind, and I've left a lot of them, but that one, I can't leave that because that's kind of who I am. I like that one too much. I can't stop that. I couldn't even if I wanted to, and I really don't want to. I can't. It's not realistic to just do whatever God says in the moment. There's that friend that I know I should say, do you want to study the Bible together? They're going to say no, and it's going to be weird, and then we're probably not going to be friends anymore. I need to think about it. It doesn't seem realistic just to do whatever God says when he says it. But could you imagine for just a moment what it would be like if every time God said something to you and I, we just did it? If every time that we had an idea that was probably from the Holy Spirit, something aligned with God's will, something that would make sense for God, and something that in my flesh I probably wouldn't want to do, so very likely it's God's Spirit, you know, leading me into that. What if we just said yes? What if every time God was pulling on us to make us take a step, to draw closer to him, to make another decision, to do something different with our lives, that we would just say yes, that there would be just obedience, immediate obedience, and we just say, yes, I don't care what, I'm not going to wait, I'm not going to think about it, I'm not going to, you know, sleep on it, I'm just going to do it, I'm going to do whatever you say. Could you imagine what our relationship with God would be like if we just took those steps one after the other, and if we let him just move us and move us and move us? Could you imagine the intimacy we would experience with God and how we would grow accustomed to hearing the voice of his Spirit as he guides us, as we read the word and as we live life? Could you imagine how much we would hear, and if we just obeyed every time, could you imagine how much we would do in the kingdom of our Lord if we just obeyed every time he said something? I think the application from this text is that we should do whatever God is telling us to do today. And I say we, that means me, that means you. Each of us should just do whatever God has been telling us to do. So what has God been calling you to do? Is it to make that initial decision to turn to Jesus and give yourself to him, and you've been thinking about it and waiting on it, and that's a big one. That's one that we ignore. We don't think we're ignoring. We say, I'm thinking about it and waiting on it, but it turns into ignoring God. Have you been thinking about making the decision to repent and be baptized and give yourself to Christ and accept him as Savior and Lord in that moment? Then if you're here listening to this, it's because God's calling you and he's giving you the opportunity to turn to him. Do that. Don't ignore his voice. Do what he's prompting you to do. And if you've made the decision to follow Jesus, well, then what's the next step that he's been pushing on you to do that you've just thought, I'll get to that. That'll be something I'll do. What is that for you? I wrote down some different things. I mean, is it something in your relationship with him or a sin or doing something in the kingdom or studying with someone? There's so many different things that God leads his children to do. There's so many practical application. That's where the Spirit applies this. God, through his Spirit, applies the passage to our lives. Just, what has he been telling you to do? If you're God's child, if you made the decision to follow him and you're his child, what has he been telling you to do that you've just been kind of sitting on saying, well, it'll be okay, I'll go to church next Sunday at all. Eventually I'll get to that. What has he asked you to do? And what will you do if God is calling you? Why don't we stand, we'll pray, and then we'll sing together. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are a God who saves, and you are a God who comes after us, and you are a God who doesn't just leave us to our sin and rebellion, but you prompt us in different times, in different ways, to turn to you. And then after we turn to you, you continue to guide us and lead us by your word and through your Spirit to take next steps and to keep drawing closer to you, to help other people draw closer to you, to become more like you. So God, we confess together that many times we ignore you when you guide us. We repent of that. And God, we want to not just hear you lead us, but say yes. We want to follow you. Give us the courage to just do whatever you ask of us. And in this moment especially, God, I pray that you would give us the courage to decide to say yes to whatever you have been asking of us. That we would hear your voice and that we would obey you immediately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.